Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette. Spring has sprung in Arkansas, thank goodness, and things are blooming and people are getting outdoors more and more. We're using our parks. And today, I thought we would focus on our park system here in the city of Little Rock and what you can do as private citizens to help out with that. Little Rock is blessed. I guess it's a double-edged sword. We're blessed with a lot of acres of parks, but it takes a lot of money, obviously, to keep up those acres. But we are blessed. You know, they used to use the term, we're a city in a park, and it was a good idea years ago to set this away. So we've got Leland Couch of Little Rock Parks and Recreation, the director, and then Mason Ellis, who joined me on a recent show. Mason, we talked about the Rose Creek Initiative, but Mason also heavily involved in the Parks Conservancy here in Little Rock, where the private sector steps up and works with the park. But let's go back and get a little background for you that may be new to both. Leland, a little bit of your background and how you got into your current profession of being a parks director.
Yes. Good morning. Yes, absolutely. So Leland Couch, the current parks director. Interesting, I went to U of A in Fayetteville, got a degree in landscape architecture, left, went to Texas, had a job down there, and then came back to Little Rock. Wanted to be back around friends, family, and what I was accustomed to, you know, being a part of, and worked in a company doing landscape design, build, and eventually got a job at the city of Little Rock and became a park planner. Wasn't that familiar with, you know, city parks and all that at the time, but that was in 2006.
I was going to ask the year. I knew you had been with the city for a while, so and, 06.
Yeah, 06. And so I got thrown right into massive projects, and that was Riverfront Park, designed and helped construct the playground down there at Riverfront Park. The Peabody Playground is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, quickly, you know, moved into different roles over the years and became from a park planner, a park design manager, to deputy director of operations, and then the parks director left and I became interim director and then appointed to parks director in April of 22.
Gotcha. Mason, a little bit on your background for our listeners.
Sure. I'm a Little Rock native as well. Went to University of Arkansas, Fayetteville as well. I was in the architecture department up there, though. And then same thing. I moved back to Little Rock to kind of be close to family and friends down here and was pretty familiar with the city and loved Little Rock and kind of wanted to be a part of its growth and success. So moved back here. I've been working with WER Architects for, oh, gosh. It's been 16 years now. Is it 17 years now? I can't remember. It's been a while.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. And, you know, historic architecture at WR, that's always kind of been my passion. But I really like getting outside. And when I moved back to Little Rock, I actually lived close to downtown, just four blocks away from my office. And so I would walk to work every day. And then when I'd go home, I'd usually take a spin down Riverfront Park and walk all the way down the trail to, you know, to the River Market area or wander up to MacArthur Park, you know, and just and go be outside in our park spaces. And kind of in my exploring of Little Rock, I discovered we have a lot of city parks and mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize how many there are. But, you know, we're really, like you said, we're really blessed and maybe, cursed at the same time. I don't know with how many parks we have, but I've just always liked being outside, but I've also liked, you know, kind of being in the city of Little Rock. So parks have just kind of been a natural landing space for me and really want to kind of help not only improve our parks, but grow the park system and look at connecting them. So that's kind of how I got involved with the City Parks Conservancy on the, on the private side.
Gotcha. So we've got an architect and a landscape architect. We have the waterfront covered.
It sounds like a setup for a joke.
Yeah. We've got the waterfront covered on the show today. I touched on in the introduction, Leland, and I, of course, I preach it in my column all the time, but economic development has changed. You know, for the, in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s in our state, it was all about what economic developers call smokestack chasing. You were out trying to get that big industrial plant that would suddenly bring 500 to 600, 700 jobs to a town. Those were fairly rare, but that was your focus. You were out trying to get a manufacturing facility of some type in our state. We have made the transition now that we're in a knowledge-based economy to realizing that economic development now is about attracting and keeping talented people in a community. And you do that through quality of life amenities. So I know you certainly realize that having great parks in a city is key to the economic future of any city these days.
Yeah, I agree, Rex, 100%. So we have great park assets, but we always need to continue to develop those. Mm-hmm. And I think the quality of life is the biggest thing that people are looking for when they're coming up for a job interview. What are the things that we can do outside of work? You know, that I think that's what's important. And I think Little Rock is on the edge of maybe increasing that greatly, mm-hmm. right? And but I think we need to be aware of that and really see what our possibilities are. I think we have a lot to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk about, again, I've touched on it, but talk about a city on the one hand being blessed with a lot of parks, but on the other hand, how that stretches your staff so thin and right. becomes a funding issue.
Yeah, so for people that aren't aware, Little Rock Parks has 63 name parks.
Wow.
Over 6,000 acres. Majority of that acreage, a large part of it, about 2,000 of it roughly, is Fush Bottoms, mm-hmm. which is a huge area, but also another great asset that I think...
really is, and they've done a podcast on that recently.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we're missing a few opportunities there. But, mm-hmm. You know, instead of traveling to another river, we could be doing this in our backyard.
Yeah.
But that's another one, too. But, yeah, so the 6,000 acres is hard to maintain. But I've started to look at it and let's make those special areas and the front doors of those special areas really highlight those. And then the areas that aren't being used, maybe let those be natural and wood or undeveloped. And those are different maintenance techniques that we can study and understand, you know, this takes a high level of maintenance, a lot more cost here, say Riverfront Park or a golf course or a basketball area. But undeveloped trails, maybe not.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about those front doors. You know, I'm an example. I have lived here in Little Rock for the past 34 years since I moved back to Arkansas from Washington, D.C. In those 34 years, I'm among the vast majority of Little Rock residents who had never been in a canoe on Fush Creek, right. for instance. And first of all, a beautiful job with the landing you've got there at Interstate Park now. You've redone the entry road there. That's an example of one of those front doors. But you're exactly right. I mean, within 5 minutes, the interstate sound disappeared, and I thought I was deep in the delta of East Arkansas with cypresses hundreds of years old. And I think that's the kind of thing you're thinking of. We've opened up for front door, for instance, for use of that creek by people in canoes and kayaks.
Right. Everybody thinks you have to go far, far away to go experience some natural phenomenon, but it's really right here. And we have access. Benny Craig to Interstate is a floatable trail that was designated by Game and Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's challenging. There's trees that fall. But, I mean, you experience that in other locations as
absolutely
well.
Absolutely, yeah. You would, yeah. A great example there. Now, keeping up 63 parks, more than 6,000 acres, talk about how important it is you get some help from outside groups such as the Conservancy to be able to do that.
Right. So we have, just for clarity, City Park and Conservancy is our nonprofit or foundation.
Right, nonprofit.
We also have a park commission, which is our advisory board. Really important, great assets on both sides. But our City Parks Conservancy is all about raising funds for projects. I understand it was more active a long time ago when it was first initialized, and I'm working to bring that back. When I first came into office, there were, barely meeting, Mason, or meeting?
We're really meeting, actually. And I think it had pretty much kind of been mothballed at the time. But and then in 2019 is when we kind of revitalized it and put together a new board and have been kind of building it back up ever since then.
So now we're meeting monthly. We've had a little turnover. Our great chairperson, Matt Bowie, stepped down. But we are filling that role, I understand it, I guess, or in the process.
So we've got a temporary, we have an interim director, Stacy Hurst, who is very familiar with parks and has a long history of working with the city and city parks and really developing the system. She's stepping in as our interim chair currently.
Interesting. Okay.
And so,
okay.
We've got our the rest of our board is intact, but we're just kind of looking for new board members to come on and people who have a passion about parks and provide different viewpoints, on different park amenities and things like that, and from all over the city as well.
Yeah.
So
how did you get involved in the conservancy?
Matt called me one day and said, "Hey, somebody told me you like parks."
gotcha. Helping out works.
I had never met Matt before, but we went to lunch one day and he was telling me about the project, and it just sounded like something I really wanted to be involved with and help with, because I do like parks, and I'm the guy picking up the trash and putting in the trash bin when I'm walking down a trail or something like that. I like helping like that, but the opportunity to do something bigger and get more people involved with helping it really appealed to me. So I'm the acting secretary right now. I've been secretary since 2019, we got started in 2019 again, and then COVID hit.
Right.
So we weren't meeting in person a lot. We were doing a lot of Zoom meetings, but then after COVID passed, we really kind of started getting some things going. Started a Friends of Parks program. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to promote is you can go to our website and become a Friends of Parks, because everybody loves parks and everybody has a different reason to go to the parks. Myself, before I was married and had kids, I was using the volleyball courts or the trails. Now that I have a family, I'm always looking for a new playground or going out to the splash pad. And, there's so many things that appeal to everybody. And people want to help and support the parks. It's just difficult to find out how. So we try to, be that venue where you can go and be a friend of the park for as little as $5 a month and help raise funds for city parks projects. So, for instance, last year, the Parks Department had three projects in particular they were looking at Boyle Park, Two Rivers Park, and Alsop Park, I believe. I think that was what it was.
That's correct.
And we donated $5,000 of our funds to help go towards those projects specifically. And it was some trails improvements, some playground improvements, a variety of different things. So we're looking kind of, to work with the city more, especially when they're going after grants for projects and things like that, to repair or replace things that need replacing, or also just general upkeep and maintenance. You got some of the playgrounds and some of the padding around the base, you can kind of see the cracks and the things like that.
Exactly.
We'd love to keep that up to date and safe and looking nice, but it takes a lot of support and it takes a lot of funding for that.
So I want to be part of this Friends of Parks. What do I need to do?
So if you go to cityparksconservancy.org.
City Parks Conservancy, all one long
all
word.
All one line, cityparksconservancy.org.
Okay.
You can click on our Get Involved page and you can become a friend of City Parks. We're also looking at developing a sponsorship program for businesses that want to support parks and things
great.
Like that. And you can become a business sponsor for the city parks programs and help get your name out there as a supporter of parks as well. But that was kind of in the works right now. We're building that up.
Yeah, I have told civic groups that I have spoken to here in Little Rock, and this is not specifically the parks, but it's part of that big picture, that one of the most important things they can do, I think, is become Bart Leland of the Adopt a Street program and help keep our city clean. And I guess you can clean up parks too if you're a civic group.
Yeah, so absolutely. So we don't only have adopt a street. We have adopt a park.
Great to know.
Adopt a flower bed. You can pretty much adopt any part of a park. Going through our volunteer coordinator, Karen Sykes, manages all those adoptive programs. So one of the most recent ones we've worked with is the Hillcrest Softball League. We realize that they're out at the ball field at Ossett Park all the time, have a great presence out there, and they do a lot of great work. Met with them, wanted to do some improvements there, new bleachers and whatnot. And they said, hey, how can we be even more help? They said, well, you can adopt this ball field for their season. Really, we look at how can we figure out ways to work with you. Looking at sponsorships as well and going through the City and Park Conservancy. So we'll lead a lot of that sponsorship dollars through the City and Park Conservancy. And then they can, that group can utilize those funds in their area of interest.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. I want to touch on another issue, Leland, while I've got you here. And I'm not going to ask you to get into details because I know the stew is still being made, so to speak, on a future bond issue. But Mayor Scott has made clear he would like to go back to the voters. He would like to come back with another sales tax proposal to really project Little Rock into one of the great cities in this part of the country. And just talking from a broad standpoint, because like I said, I know the specifics are still being worked on, but my understanding is parks would be a major part of that, and that the mayor and others do understand what we've just talked about, and that is they're essential to the future economic development of the state's largest city.
Yes, so absolutely. So you mentioned bonds, but I think also you actually meant sales tax.
Sales tax.
So we do have bonds, and we're working off of some bond funds.
But yeah, let's talk about the sales tax.
And the sales tax, definitely. So I was highly involved in that last year. We went out for community input. There was a reason why we went late and all of that, and we could get into that. That was because we had a tornado in the spring of last year. But I'm huge into needing new revenue for Little Rock Parks. And the mayor and I have been working together. He has a list of P's, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the P's. I'm really excited parks. About it.
Public safety, yeah.
So I know he has big changes, not big changes, but I know he wants to make some changes, you know, in terms of from the input that we gathered last year. We haven't, like you said, the recipe isn't 100% there, but we've definitely been working on it. I'm really big in trying to reinvest in what we have with some new things as well. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a lot of stuff out there that really needs some investment. We have, you know, War Memorial Park and Hyman Park and all these great areas that we just need a little extra revenue to be able to do something special in them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was sitting here thinking, Mason, when you mentioned Stacy Hurst, I was part of years ago, a Midtown Advisory Committee that Stacy chaired. And, you know, we were talking about War Memorial Park even then. It's when Ray Winder was still standing. That's another story for another day. But I tried to save it for amateur baseball, and I wish we would have in retrospect. But like I said, we'll get into that. I won't vent on the city here, Leland, with you here for another day. But I think there was a realization even back then in War Memorial Park, that kind of acreage sitting right in the middle of the state's largest city, there is a potential there to be – to Little Rock, what Central Park is to New York, our really Central Park here, and attract a lot more people to the park.
Right. So a lot of people do talk to me about how they like War Memorial Park the way it is today, natural, green, open space. I challenge that conversation to say we really need to make something for every user.
Yeah.
And if you look at something like Canis Park years ago, even maybe 5 years ago, was very dormant. Not a lot of people. You were a little concerned maybe what you were doing there about the other people or whatnot. With a little bit of grant investment and some city investment and the mayor helping us find some funds for the basketball, that park really works now. Skaters are out there on the skate park. We have pickleball players all the time out there. We have a ball field. We have now the basketball, which we're excited to finally get to open that really soon. But we have trails. I mean, it just, so when you go in there, there's a really great mix of people and everybody's having a great time.
Right. Right.
War Memorial, you'll go through there and you'll see currently people enjoying the park, walking and all that. But I really think there's a missed opportunity there greatly. And with just a little bit of new revenue, I think we can make something super special for Little Rock.
Right. Yeah. I could not agree more with the potential that is there. Mason, I happen to know because of your recent appearance on this podcast that you live close to War Memorial Park. But again, we talk about development, a really smart redevelopment of War Memorial Park, do you not believe would help revitalize all the neighborhoods surrounding the park?
Absolutely. I mean, War Memorial is such a large park, too. There's so many opportunities, and there's so much there already. It's just... very spread out. I mean, the Jim Daly Fitness Center is there. The zoo is, you know, very right there. I mean, we're down there at the splash pad all the time, and we don't just go to the splash pad. We also bring the bikes, and then we go bike around the old, you know, golf cart trails and zoom around there as well. But there is a lot of opportunity, I think, to do some more, like Leland said, more program uses that can appeal to, you know, more users, more people, not only from the surrounding neighborhoods, but the whole city as well. But then also kind of recreating some of that natural environment, too. I mean, when I go by on 6:30 occasionally in the morning, I'm amazed how many people I still see just walking out there, just walking their dogs, mm-hmm. you know, on across exactly. the golf cart, just being outside in that space. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of exciting potential that can come from that. I just got to figure out what all it is.
By the way, I'm constantly amazed by the number of Arkansans that still don't realize that War Memorial Stadium is a state facility, not a city facility, even though it sits in a city park. Yeah. So, you know, if you don't think there was enough bottled water at the Razorback opener last fall, don't call Leland. Call the state, right?
Thank you.
Right,
thank Leland? You. Yeah, everything within the walls of the stadium is all state park. And there's a difference between state parks and city
people,
parks.
People get confused a lot on that, right. though, don't they? Yeah.
But, you know, that's a big part of War Memorial, and Mason touched on that, is that currently you go there for, like, a precise activity, right? Mm-hmm. Zoo, stadium, a trail, or the playground. Really trying to find a mix for the Central Park, which is where you go and visit and maybe stay for half a day and
exactly.
experience all that. Right now, I bet some people will drive to the playground and then get in their car and drive to the zoo, and we really need to fix that. You know, how do we bridge across Fair Park? How do we connect all this great potential that's there?
Yeah. And whether it's there, whether it's at Hindman, whether it's somewhere else, also one of the things we've talked about on the sales tax, I know as a city, is sports facilities for youth. And I raised two boys in this city, so you can get me started quickly on that.
Right.
You know, they were playing in tennis tournaments at although we've got a great tennis facility here, but I think about it, Burns Park, but baseball at Burns, we were going to Bryant for baseball, Benton. There is a lot of money now, and that's why we see cities doing it in youth sports facilities, whether it's volleyball tournaments, basketball tournaments, baseball, softball. And I think there is some missed opportunities to draw a lot of people into Little Rock with those kind of facilities, Leland, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Rick. So last year when we had that community input, there was a lot of concern that we would just overbuild War Memorial if we put something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've definitely sharpened our pencil on that, really looking at an indoor sports complex. The need in Little Rock is definitely there. We have gyms across the city, but we need a location where they're all together. And we're looking at that at War Memorial in a centrally located area right off of an interstate. Cities around us are building these as we speak.
Absolutely.
And we really need to be on that wagon. And it's not just for our residents. It's for the economic impact that these facilities bring to this area that we can't miss. I mean, these are why we're missing some of the revenue dollars that we need to take care of our other parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll benefit by make that money by doing a tournament series, right? But then residents will be able to use them just as well. I mean, so they're not just sports related. It could be some kind of a estate sale or whatever wouldn't fit maybe in the state house.
Right.
from a small size could fit in our new sports complex.
And the beauty of it is somebody, again, my son played on a travel baseball team. One son did, another played travel basketball. So I've been all right. over. First of all, I realize that industry is recession-proof. I mean, even if the rest of the economy is not doing well, you're going to go see your kids and your grandkids, and you're going to stay in motels, and you're going to spend money. And one of the beauties I see of War Memorial, Leland, is the fact that you have hundreds of hotel rooms and dozens of good restaurants just within a few miles.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, right on University, you have hotels, mm-hmm. restaurants, walking distance, all that. You're absolutely right. And then not to mention, the trails. I mean, I know Mason here is adding about with this Rose Creek Trail. That connects right into War Memorial if we're able to finish the trail connections. And then Canis Park is right down the street. So having a large complex that is connected to the city is what's important. If we put it out on the sidelines of the city, it's not going to be accessible by all. Is how we need it to be.
Yeah.
And we want it to drive that economic impact. If it's on the side of the city, where are people staying in hotels? Where are people going to restaurants? So, I think it's a huge opportunity for us.
I was gratified to see earlier this week that Little Rock made Southern Living Magazine's list of the top 25 cities in the South to visit for the first time. Bentonville was also on the list. I think we've gotten used to Bentonville being on every list, though, of every kind. So I'll put that aside for a minute. But where I live in Little Rock's on the list. I think there's an increasing recognition of Mason. We do have a lot of neat things going on in the city. But the kind of stuff we're just talking about, the potential of War Memorial, for instance, we've got a lot of potential even to take that to the next level as a city and really be recognized as one of the top cities in the South.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we keep referring to it as Central Park, and Central Park in New York is known worldwide. I mean, there's a reason we refer to it that way, because there's so much potential there to really be a not just a city park, but, you know, have regional and statewide pull to it because of the possibilities that are there. So it's just needs a lot of support, and you know, hopefully once we kind of, like Leland said, kind of start going back and looking at the plans again and taking some of that community input and seeing, you know, how we can maximize the potential for sports complexes and different amenities in the park, and also keep that open space that so many people are you know, wanting. I think we can make a jewel, jewel in Arkansas right there at War Memorial.
Absolutely. Well, there are a lot of jewels, and we just need to polish them. You mentioned earlier you realized how much you were using parks. On days that I'm coming in here and I need to be writing all day and I don't want to get interrupted to go to lunch or anything, my dirty secret, I call it dirty because my wife tells me don't eat fast food, but Leland, for instance, there's so many uses of parks. I live out in West Little Rock. I'll stop at the McDonald's on Cantrell and get two sausage biscuits and a large coffee, and I'll go to Murray Park sit by the river and eat my biscuits and drink my coffee just sitting there in the car. And that, for instance, gets my day off to a great start, sitting by the river for a while.
Watch the barges go up and down.
Yeah,
so I was going to say, you know, we've kind of honed in on War Memorial Park, but we have 63 of these, and all of them have great opportunities. And that sales tax would put money into all of these locations, not just War Memorial. So it's really adamant that we look at that. I mean, and then trails to connect all these. We have thousands of acres that are joined by woods, but we're working on the Tri-Creek Greenway, all these different trails that would connect them, and people could use the trails to go through these green spaces to get to work or go do more than just recreation, which would be great. But again, it's that sales tax or that bond money or those other funds that help us do that. But yes, we have so many great spots. Murray Park is a great spot. It was hit by the tornado.
We're at the one-year anniversary, and
we've got
you've done a pretty good job cleaning that up, I was going to say.
And Reservoir was really hammered by that, fully 60 acres. And for your listeners, Rock Creek, it was a long time coming, but they're out there now cleaning up Rock Creek. And we had a hold on that because we were working for federal funds and a grant, And it was $1 million to get a grant to go out there and get our contractor to clear Rock Creek. So they're in the middle of Chenal right now clearing that.
That is great to hear, because I know you get these a lot. I just had that thought the other day. I was driving down Chenal, and it's like, we're coming up on 1 year. Yeah. When are they going to clean all these dead?
Right. Yeah.
When are they going to clean all these dead trees up in the middle of
the park? Yeah, so it's just a lot of different contracts and agreements and all that, but we're working on getting that back to what it was. And that's an example of, you know, Rock Creek was a real jewel. It was right here in the city in West Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Very few people know about it, but you would go out there and you feel like you're out in the Ozarks or wherever you wanted to be. Nice Rock Creek, nice wood, nice big rock bluffs. But as soon as we shut down that trail because of the tornado and the hazards of the tornado, we started having issues with different homeless issues, trash, and security issues and whatnot. And so because of that, you know, that just shows you that we really need to keep these facilities open and operable and really in good condition, and everybody gets to use them, you know. And so can't wait to get Rock Creek back online.
Great, great. Where do you see things, just maybe your wish list, where do you see things 5 years from now, even 10 years from now?
I would love to be able to get some type of revenue to where we could really do some of these bigger projects that we've talked about today and others that we haven't even gotten to mention, and get the City of Park Conservancy even more vibrant, where they can get money coming in to help us sponsor. So if we don't get a sales tax or we don't get something else, and then really sharpen our pencil on those special areas that we have. I mean, Peabody Park and Little Rock and Riverfront was built 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. We really need to go back down there and replace some playground components of it. Mm-hmm. That's just typical maintenance that we need to do. We're standing right now without those big capital dollars to be able to go do some of those improvements. Ball field lights. Some ball fields in neighborhood parks are from the 60s and 70s. I mean, the electrician looks at that and says, we can't fix that.
Yeah.
You need a whole new system. So in some of those, we're taking those down, and we're going to have to wait until we find that new money source. So I'm hopeful that we get that funding so we can do something huge in the next 5 years.
What about you, Basin? You have a clear, I've had you on twice now, and whether it's the Rose Creek Initiative or the parks as a whole, you have a clear love for this city. What do you see in the next 5 years or
I see more of a push on trails connections, kind of we touched on a little bit, but you know, we have all these great parks and really connecting them all and making a park system that no matter where you live in the neighborhood, you can access a trail or a greenway or, you know, a nice street and walk to and be in a city park. And you may, you know, you can connect to every city park is in the city just by walking or biking or moving around like that, because that creates such a quality of life in the city. You know, and really seeing, you know, kind of new or improved things in our parks, specifically playgrounds. I don't know, since I've had my two boys now, playgrounds mm-hmm. have become a huge part of my life.
Understood.
And we just drive around the city looking for new playgrounds that we've never seen before. That's kind of our fun thing to do. Exploring parks has kind of become kind of interesting to me, because being part of the City Parks Conservancy, I didn't realize we had 63 parks.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of wondering, where are all these parks? And so I like to take our two boys and we'll go out and drive around and, you know, find a new park.
Find new ones, yeah.
And one of the things that I'm trying to work on with the City Parks Conservancy is do more advocacy for that and create a City Parks Passport program, where similar to the Arkansas State Park System, you know, they have a little stamp book where you can go get a stamp at every one of the 52 state parks. We're trying to work on a passport program.
I love that.
Each you know, location of city park, get a rubbing of an emblem at each city park and fill up your passport and work with parks to get, you know, some sort of prize or something from mm-hmm. that once you go to all 63. But really get people to realize we have a lot of park space in Little Rock.
We really do.
We need to chip in and help be a part of it.
We do. Leland, thank you. Mason, thank you. I've enjoyed this. We'll get you back on again, because our parks are so important to our future. You've been listening to the Southern Pride Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We'll see you next time.